Chapter 3, Yiling, in which a family is found and a miracle happens. Yiling is a charming little city, Jinzu thinks. The last time she passed through, the whole town was very drab, the claws of urbanization and industry still embedded into it. Now, they've remodeled buildings, introduced more greenery, laid out car-free zones, and opened public parks. It's quiet and bustling at the same time, in the way only a city on the smaller side can be. When Jinzu arrives, the farmer's market is in full swing, and she takes her time to wander through it, maybe even buy some fresh produce for herself, while her camera crew film a few impression shots. The part of Yiling she is headed to looks very different in contrast. In ancient times, the history books tell her, this has been the site of at least two massive battles, leaving a large area to become a mass grave for fallen soldiers and civilians alike. The burial mounds themselves are now a historic site that can be visited if one wishes to do so. The residential area next to the site still holds the same name, its tower blocks and prefabricated buildings with their peeling coats of paint and high vacancy rates in a state of seemingly perpetual disrepair, no matter how much money one invests into fixing them. Battery farms for humans, her mother used to call those structures. To Jinzu, they almost seem like coffins made out of concrete. Burial mounds, indeed. It's the part of town in which people go to live if they cannot afford to pay rent elsewhere. It's a place to live in which one is sheltered from the elements, which Jinzu supposes is better than having no shelter at all. Still, the contrast between the burial mounds and the more polished parts of Yiling is stark, to say the least. She doesn't even dare to compare them to places like Yunmeng or Gusu. Heaven forbid Lanling. Jinzu doesn't judge, though. She did have a sizable amount of money to her name when she turned her back on Lanling years ago, but she had no idea how to do finances and save up for herself. There had always been people doing that for her, so out of pure caution, the first flat she took was in one of those tower blocks until she had learned how to properly budget for herself. It was still a better one than those which stand in the burial mounds now, but it was similar. Jinzu did have enough funds to keep herself afloat and pay for repairs without it hurting too much. She doesn't even want to think about how hard it must be for less fortunate families. Even though it is a sunny day in Yiling, the sun never seems to really reach the burial mounds. Jinzu shivers, wrapping her cardigan closer around her own frame. She's scheduled to meet with Wen Qing and Wen Ning, a pair of siblings, in a semi-public inner courtyard of an apartment complex. When she arrives at the place, she sighs. The parts of the courtyard that were supposed to be lawn look more like a piece of packed dirt with weeds and a bit of grass poking through here and there. The benches and picnic tables look sturdy, yet the paint is peeling off. There's a small playground for children. Jinzu isn't sure if she would let her own kids play on the swings or the slide, as she can spot rust on far more than one piece of playground equipment. Still, she can see that the whole place is clearly being used. Even now, there are people sitting outside with a book, trying to get as much sunlight as they possibly can, or catching up with a neighbor about the latest community gossip. The people she meets seem a bit suspicious of her, which she can't blame them for, especially since she has a filming crew in tow. They are, however, friendly, and incline their heads in greeting, and leave her otherwise alone. Jinzu sits down at one of the picnic tables and waits. She's only a few minutes early, enough time for her crew to set up, and for her to mentally prepare herself. This could either go very well or very badly. She doesn't have to wait long until she sees two people exit one of the apartment buildings flanking the courtyard, a woman and a man. While the man is taller than her, the woman appears to be the older of the two. Her gaze could cut through steel, Jinsu thinks, while the man seems gentler in nature. They shake hands and sit down. They agree again to be filmed, as long as no one else in the courtyard gets filmed without their explicit prior consent. I am Wen Qing, and this is my brother Wen Jianglin, but he prefers to go by Wen Ning, the woman explains, while the man nods. Thank you for agreeing to see me, Jinsu says. I am sure this must have come as quite the surprise. Indeed, Wen Qing replies. I will admit that we look you guys up before deciding to meet you. Jinsu chuckles. That's only fair, she says. We still don't know what to make of this, Wen Ning says. All of the relatives we have left are here with us, so this is quite the mystery. Then I think we should get to the bottom of it, Jinsu says. The person who got matched with you is a young man, 17 years of age. He spent the first 4 years of his life in an orphanage on the outskirts of Gusu, and was then adopted by a loving father. We were initially looking to find someone he is not related to by blood, but while that search is still ongoing, his wish to find out more about his birth family has been rekindled of some sorts. It's always been in his thoughts, he says, but he never knew how to go about it. Now he has us, and the permission and support of his adoptive father, so he gave it a shot. Jinsu glances at both Wen Qing and Wen Ning. They are listening, but keep their expressions as neutral as possible. It's difficult to tell what they're thinking. The documentation we found at the orphanage was unhelpful, Jinsu explains. His parents were listed as deceased, but there was no name for them. So we turned to DNA sampling, again with parental permission. That's where your family turns up. Do you have any documentation on the legitimacy and legality of the testing and the database finds? Wen Qing wants to know. Jinsu startles. This woman seems to know what she's talking about, and she's taking no chances. Jinsu would be lying if she claimed not to be curious as to why exactly a whole family's DNA has been sampled into a database, but that's none of her business, and not exactly legal for her to know, so she doesn't ask. Of course, she says, and fishes a folder out of her purse. You are free to view any documentation to review its legitimacy and legality, but we reserve the right to cover up names for confidentiality reasons. Wen Qing nods and takes the folder. She takes her time looking over the documents, then hands them back to Jinsu with another nod. I'm a trained medical doctor, and I've worked in research too for a while, so I know what to look for. I recognize the name of the lab you're working with. You're good. Thank you. I apologize for being cautious. No need for apologies, Jinsu says. Any further questions? Yes, Wen Ning quietly asks. Can you tell us more about that young man? Jinsu nods. His name is Lan Sishui. As said, he's 17 years old. He's a very gentle soul, but his father claims that there is quite a bit of mischief hidden underneath his calm demeanor, and sometimes it resurfaces. He is kind to anyone he meets, respectful and proper, but he has a playful side too. I have yet to talk to him in person, but my co-host tells me that he's a delightful human being who wasn't afraid to gently tease her now and then. Wen Qing smiles at that. Do you happen to have a photograph of him? Wen Ning asks. I'd love to see him. Yes, Jinsu says, reaching into her purse again. The photograph is a recent one. Lan Sizhui can be seen standing up, smiling softly, his hair in a semi-high ponytail. Wen Qing and Wen Ning take one look at the photograph, then look at each other, wide-eyed. How old is he, did you say?
17.
Wen Ning, Can you fetch Popo for me, please? Ask her if she wants to be on camera first. And bring the red photo album. You know which one. Wen Ning nods, gets up, and turns to go back into the apartment complex. Jin Su looks at Wen Qing. Do you recognize him? She asks, hopeful. Not directly, she says, but he looks a lot like my older cousins did. If he is who I believe he might be, then I've seen him last as a newborn and a very young toddler. Our granny might be able to confirm my suspicions. It doesn't take long for Wen Ning to reappear. He brings with him an old woman, who looks like she has worked hard her entire life, but is physically in good shape for someone her age. Her eyes are kind, and the first thing she says upon seeing the cameras is, "My, those things are bigger than I would have imagined," which startles a laugh out of everyone. "You may call me Granny Wen, or even Popo if you like," she says. "Everyone here does so. I don't see why you shouldn't." "Popo, please look at this photograph," Wen Qing says, handing her the picture of Lan Sizhui. "Doesn't he look a lot like..." Granny Wen is silent for the longest time, before looking back up from the photographs. "He was in an orphanage near Gusu and was adopted when he was 4, Wen Qing explains. "He matched with us through a DNA sample test. The age would fit." "Say," Granny Wen asks Jin Su, "his childhood name, before he was adopted. It doesn't happen to be Yuan or Ayuan?" Jin Su's eyes light up. "He did tell us that his name was Ayuan when he was little, yes." Granny Wen sets the photograph down and opens the album Wen Ning had brought with him. She flips a few pages until she finds a photograph of a smiling couple, a man and a woman, holding a newborn infant. Jin Su looks at it. She doesn't know who these people are, but even she can see the resemblance between Lan Sizhui and this couple. The woman has the same kind eyes, the man a similar beatific smile. There's no doubt in her mind that they are related to him. "These are Wen Li and his wife Wang Yihan, your elder cousins," Granny Wen says, placing a hand on both Wen Ning's and Wen Qing's shoulders. "With their baby, Wen Yuan. He was born on a very snowy morning in winter, the 12th of January, 17 years ago. That matches up with the documentation the orphanage was able to give us," Jin Su says. She feels breathless. Granny Wen smiles. "I remember so well because I was there to help deliver him." "What happened to his parents?" Jin Su inquires. At that, Granny Wen finally sits down. "They died in a car accident near Gusu when Ayuan was about 8 months old," she says. "And to be honest, the news we got claimed that he had died with them." "So you had no idea that he was still alive?" Granny Wen shakes her head. "We would have come looking for him if that had been the case. We would have found a way. But we were told that no one had survived that car crash. Not even the baby." Jin Su narrows her eyes. "Do you think it was some bureaucratic mistake?" Granny Wen sighs. "Honestly, I do believe that his parents wanted us to believe that he's dead." "Why would they do that?" Wen Qing looks up at Granny Wen, as if to ask for permission to speak. Granny Wen only nods. "To protect him," Wen Qing says finally. "And possibly also to protect us. Have you heard of Wen Rohan?" Jin Su pauses. "The CEO of Wen Pharmaceuticals, who meddled in politics and was involved in a lot of criminal activity?" "The very one." "Oh, so you are of the same family? I had assumed it was a different Wen family altogether." "No," Wen Qing clarifies. "We are indeed of the same Wen family. The only difference is that Wen Rohan's family branch hailed from Qishan, while we are from Dafan."
And we wanted nothing to do with that bastard, Granny Wen interjects, punctuating her words by slamming her fist onto the picnic table. He only brought shame and pain to the family. When we realized what he was doing, we distanced ourselves from him. Bribery and money laundering, kidnapping and even murder. What kind of person does that? She shakes her head, bitterness clouding her features. He has always been an ambitious fellow, and ambition is nothing bad if kept in healthy check. But what he and his sons did still makes me so angry.
Popo, your blood pressure, Wen Ning says, trying to calm her down. Jinsu nods. Of course, she has heard of Wen Rohan and the scandal at Wen Pharmaceuticals. It's been years, a decade at least, since Wen Rohan was arrested and sentenced, but it took a while for the authorities to track down his sons and all of the people involved. It was all over the news back then, a wealthy owner and founder of a renowned pharmaceutical company, using the business as a front for money laundering purposes, and not shying away from kidnapping and even murdering those who have seen and heard too much. The whole Wen family would have been investigated and questioned, and DNA sampling as part of evidence collecting and ongoing criminal investigations was already a thing back then. That's why they popped up in the database. They probably had their fingerprints taken, possibly even saliva samples, depending on the circumstances. Jinsu looks at the people in front of her, at the anger and hurt in Granny Wen's eyes. She does believe them when she says that they wanted to get as far away as possible from Wen Rohan, that they only wanted to live their lives in peace. Especially if some of them had seen or heard too much, and Wen Rohan's henchmen were still trying to silence them. As well as all the other people who had pointed their fingers toward the whole Wen family and branded them all as criminals, innocents or not. What better way to protect little baby Ayuan than to have the world forget that he is a Wen? Jinsu has no idea how his parents did this, but her heart hurts for them. For Lan Sizhui. For the Wens in front of her. Why agree to speak to us in front of cameras? Jinsu asks, before she even realizes what she's doing. It's been so long, Granny Wen says. We're tired. We worked hard to get our names cleared. You have no idea how hard Wen Jing had to fight to finish med school, get her residency, to even find patients willing to see her. She persevered and made a name for herself. Her patients trust her, and I am so immensely proud of her. We fought enough, and our lawyers say it's safe for us to do this. We asked. It's time that we stop hiding and start living again, that we reclaim our name and use it with pride. She looks back at the photograph of Lan Sizhui that is still on the table. How is he? Is he healthy? Happy? He is, Jinsu affirms. He recorded a video message for you, in case we found someone willing to talk to us. Wen Ning gasps. Wen Qing's eyes widen. Granny Wen emits an, oh, before she asks, would you be so kind as to show it to us, dear? Of course, Jinsu confirms and takes out her laptop. A letter is usually the customary thing on the show. People that are to be reunited write each other letters prior to meeting in order to first get to know each other. It's the host's job to exchange them. More often than not, people prefer to record video messages to be passed on. She opens her laptop, switches it on, and waits until it's properly booted up before pulling up the video and pressing play, turning the device so that the Wens can see the screen.
Hello, family,
Lan Sizhui says, a smile on his face.
My name is Lan Sizhui, but my childhood name is Ayuan. I don't know my birth surname while I am recording this, but if you're seeing this, it means you have been found. I'm so excited!
He pauses to nervously giggle, then regains his composure.
I was adopted into a loving family, and I am well and happy, but I've always been wondering who my birth family is, where I initially came from. After all, you're a part of me, and I'd love to know more about you. I don't know what led to me not knowing anything about my family. If there's a reason why no one came to look for me. Oh, that sounds so bad. I don't mean it that way. I don't blame anyone. I just would like to know. You don't have to agree to ever meet me if you don't wish to. Simply knowing that you exist would fill me with so much joy already. If you would, however, wish to meet me and get to know me, I'd be more than happy to. Wherever you might be, please know that I'm thinking of you constantly. With much love, Lan Sishui.
The last thing the Wen see is him waving at the camera before the video fades out. Oh, he's lovely, Granny Wen says, her voice breaking. And so handsome! He looks just like his mother when I first got to know her. But he has Uncle Li's smile, Wen Qing says. Her voice is much steadier, but her eyes are brimming with unshed tears. I still remember it. Would you like to meet him? Qin Su asks gently. Wen Ning, who has been quiet up until now, nods enthusiastically. So does Wen Qing.
If I want to meet him? Of course I do! I'd walk up to Gusu if I have to,
Granny Wen exclaims, effectively making everyone laugh again. Qin Su audibly exhales. At least she'd be able to return to Lan Sizhui with some good news. Even if they didn't manage to find the one they were initially looking for, they would at least be able to introduce the boy to his loving and welcoming birth family.
I am curious, though, Wen Ning says. If I may, you said you were initially looking for someone else?
Yes, Qin Su says. A young man who worked as a volunteer at the orphanage that took Lan Sizhui in as a young child. They bonded, and Sizhui remembers him as a loving father figure. The man vanished without a trace, and Lan Sizhui was hoping to find him, but so far we've been unsuccessful. Wen Ning's face falls.
Oh no, he says. How sad. And he just disappeared?
Qin Su nods. Approximately 9 months before Sizhui's adoption was finalized. Our research took us from Gusu to Lanling and to Yunmeng, but...
Oh, to Lotus Pier? Granny Wen says. I remember that place from when I was younger. Very beautiful.
Yes, it's where his family originally comes from, but they wouldn't talk to us. Something in Granny Wen's expression changes. She looks as if she was trying to solve some complicated mathematical puzzle.
From Lotus Pier, and there must have been some kind of falling out with his family if they refused to talk to you about him. Wasn't Gusu before he disappeared and worked at an orphanage? Did he wear his hair long back then? Either in a ponytail or in a half-up, half-down style? Do you happen to know whether he had some kind of red hair accessory?
Qin Su's ears are ringing.
What is she trying to tell her?
Yes. I've seen a photograph of him where he wears a red ribbon, and Lan Sizhui says he remembers it vividly.
He remembers an awful lot for a 4-year-old, Wen Qing mutters in a daze. He's a Wen, of course he does, Granny Wen says.
I mean, after all he's been through, that man probably left a huge positive impression on him, so the memory might have stuck more persistently, Qin Su tries to argue.
Do you happen to have that photograph with you? Granny Wen asks.
Qin Su hesitates. Normally she wouldn't be allowed to give out his name or show them the photograph. Lan Wangji's face is covered up by a sticky note for privacy reasons, so they won't see him, but...
Oh, to hell with rules and regulations.
Qin Su decides to trust her gut feeling and rummages around in one of the 20 folders in her purse until she finds the one containing the picture. "That's him," she says, presenting it to the Wens. They all collectively stare at the photograph. "Oh my god," Wen Ning says.
"This has to be a joke," Granny Wen adds.
Wen Qing quietly turns to the apartment complex, opens her mouth, and yells,
"Wei Wuxian! Get your ass out here!"
And notes, many people guessed where Wei Wuxian was hiding, and I believe we do know the why now, too. Questions that remain. Is he willing to come back? How will Lan Wangji react when he sees him, if he even gets to see him?
I didn't expect them to find him so quickly.
Ha ha ha! That's cool.